Final hour on this Friday. Next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Getting ready for Titans and Rams on Sunday. Cam Ward's home debut in the home opener against LA. Don't think the on-the-field stuff is going to be great for the Titans, but we'll get into a little bit of some of the fanfare surrounding Cam Ward's Nissan Stadium debut. I did want to get to some texts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joel says, Jake, you host a show on the flagship radio station for the Preds. You now automatically are a hockey guy. Great. I wear that as a badge of honor. I was saying more in comparison to Adam and Willie and Robbie and these guys that, you know, cover hockey for a living. I'm not in that realm. The good news is, once Pred season starts, the plan is to have Max Herz on consistently, who is a, you know, true hockey guy. So we'll have him on to talk some Preds once Pred season starts. Excited. We love Max Herz. Justin from Greenbrier says, please, dear Lord, can the Preds be good this year? I can't handle another fall and winter in purgatory where my hockey team and football team are absolute buns. Yeah, can't help you much with the football team. And that's what we're going to get into here. Titans and Rams on Sunday. We spent most of the first hour talking about how, on paper, this is a bad matchup. It really is, especially with J.C. Latham out. We'll find out more about Tavondre Sweat's status later today. That would be a big loss if he can't play. He hasn't practiced the first 2 days this week. But it is an important day because it's the first time Cam Ward is going to play a real football game at home. And you hope this is the first of many games in the old and new Nissan Stadium for Cam Ward. I'm wondering what the crowd is going to be like. I would expect it's going to be pretty full, even though the team lost on Sunday. I was talking to, I think it was Corey or TD, saying that if they had won against Denver on Sunday, I think this crowd would be packed. If you're 1-0 and Cam Ward had a big reason to do with that win and you come back home, I think Cam Ward's debut at Nissan Stadium would be packed out. I don't know if it's going to be quite as full, but I think it'll be a good crowd. And I make the assumption they're going to announce the offense, right? Like each game,
like
at
they do
home,
every game. Yeah.
So if you've been to a Titans game before, or most NFL games, they will announce either the offense or the defense.
That's right. Yeah.
They'll send out one of the units with the rest of the team. Like, here are your 2025 Tennessee Titans, and either the starting offense or defense will just run out, and then starting at tight end number 85, Chig Okonkwo, and they'll go through the whole offense. I'm going to make the assumption for Cam Ward's debut, they're going to announce offense.
Yeah,
they
better do offense first.
It would be a little bit disappointing if they just let Cam Ward run out of the tunnel with the rest of his team and not announce him. I think that reaction is going to be electric. He's going to go last, you would assume.
Right.
Which means he is going to be one announcement before Brian Callahan. And I'm not going to be there on Sunday. And it's not like they show this stuff on TV, but I would love it. I would love a video from somebody. If you can, honestly, you can text it into the text line.
I'll be there on Sunday.
Okay,
Parker, I'll get the video.
Parker, get the video. I need a video of the contrast, because it's likely going to be back to back where they announce Cam Ward, and then they say, "And your head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Brian Callahan." I'm worried he's going to get booed.
Just think about it. There's going to be so much glee, so much joy for your rookie quarterback that you hope is going to be the future of the franchise, followed by the head coach that everybody wants to run out of town.
See, I don't think they should boo him, but I know Titans fans, and I know sports fans in general. Like, a game like that, they're going to be at least some boos. Hopefully it's not overwhelming, because I don't think Brian Callahan deserves that. Honestly, Do I dare say that the Titans fans should give him like a Trey Turner like cheer? Do you remember that from a couple years ago with the Phillies?
Yep, I do remember.
Where
that.
It's like he was going through the worst slump of his career. He could not hit to save his life. And Phillies fans gave him a standing O, and he figured it out and he turned it around. I'm not advocating for it, but I think Titans fans, show your support. Don't boo the guy. He's still your head coach, at least for now. But I would love a video, Parker.
Even if you don't mean it, just give him a little something, because they're not going to fire him right now. They may not fire him midseason like everybody wants, but give him a little bit of encouragement, even if you don't mean it, because if he gets fired this year, things will not get much better if you promote, let's say, a John Fossil, a Bones Fossil to interim, right, a Denard Wilson. It's not going to automatically fix things.
This year is not going to go well whether Brian Callahan is the head coach or not. So I would say don't boo him. You know, it goes back to the preseason where Van Jefferson had that drop in Atlanta, and everyone wanted Van Jefferson cut for dropping that pass. Everybody. They're all over Twitter. We were getting texts and saying, like, cut Van Jefferson. And then he goes out, and I get it's the preseason, and he has a big game. It's like, it's one game. It was a bad game for Brian Callahan. And if it looks like that on Sunday, I don't know if there's coming back from it. Like, I think if he has another game where we're pointing at Brian Callahan and saying, you are the reason they lost that game, then I don't know if there's coming back from it. I think he's probably done. But it's still early. It's still early in the season. He's going to get at least 6 or 7 games. Gamma Greg says that record deserves some boos. Sure. Like, and there's going to be boos. I'm not saying there's not going to be. I'm hoping it's not overwhelming on Sunday is what I'm saying. Because that's just got to be tough for, not just for Brian Callahan, but for the team. It's like, this isn't December when the team is 1-12 or something like that. You're 0-1 and you're booing the head coach to start off the home opener. It's just not a good look.
I'm going to take you to a very, very dark place, and just bear with me here, but can you imagine if the Titans, just looking at their schedule, can you imagine if the Titans are 0-6 and they're getting ready to welcome Mike Vrabel?
Oh, yeah, he's getting booted
to town.
One. Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine the toxicity that will be just in the air in Nashville when that happens?
No, I am fully expecting that it's not going to end up being a good season for this team. And 0945 says, why wouldn't we boo a coach getting paid millions of dollars that doesn't even know the rules? One game did y'all not see last year? I'm saying that he's 0-1. It was a bad game on Sunday. Last year wasn't good. But, like, what good does it do to boo the coach coming out? And that this isn't even supposed to be about that. I'm just saying that the contrast of Cam Ward and Brian Callahan back-to-back is going to be very interesting, because everybody showing up to that game wearing two-tone blue on Sunday is there to see Cam Ward. Like, that's it. That is what you are going. You are paying whatever price that ticket is, $50, $100. You are going there to watch Cam Ward play. So he is going to get one of the louder cheers you have ever heard in Nissan Stadium when a player is announced. I think the only one I can think of that maybe is louder is when Derrick Henry came back for the playoff game.
Yeah, that was a pretty
Bengals.
Big one.
Like, when he got left, I think that's that one was big. I think Cam Ward's going to be in that realm of, like, everybody there wearing Titans gear is there to watch Cam Ward make his debut.
Were you there when Mariota first got drafted? His first game was on the road in Tampa.
Yes.
I can't remember where they were game two.
I can't remember either.
But
they lost the game.
Yeah, Mariota's first home game. Do you remember?
I was not there for that one.
Yeah, you weren't even in Nashville, were you?
No,
at that
time? I wasn't. I was in high school then.
Yeah, yeah.
Ben says, if I were the Titans, I would announce Cam Ward and Callahan together and have them run out. Yeah, if you want to just give him, like, the protection of Cam Ward, because people are more there for Cam Ward than they are to boo Brian Callahan. Wes in Clarksville says, I still think he gets fired after Vrabel beats us. I hope Vrabel shows up wearing his Houston Cowboy hat and spanks the goalpost. I mean, we talked
got
about
his
it.
Cowboy boots on and everything.
We talked about it with Corey of, like, we all make the jokes of Amy's going to fire Brian Callahan after he loses to Mike Vrabel. It would be really bad if they actually did that. Just because after the whole John Robinson thing where you see people yelling at Amy Adams drunk in her box after A.J. Brown score. When he was spanking the goalpost, Yeah, it would be bad if they fired Callahan after the Patriots game. But you may not have a choice if you are 0-6, 0-7 at that point. Sunday, I don't think it's going to go well. And Gamma Greg says, just like the paper bag mass, it lets the ownership know we are looking for change. It's fair, but I still think you're looking for improvement from Brian Callahan. This isn't past the point of no return yet. It could get there this week, but he's trending in the wrong direction. He's got to dig himself out of it quick. That starts Sunday against the Rams. All I'm saying is, like, I'm hoping it's not an overwhelming amount of boos. I'm not telling you guys out there not to boo. I'm just saying, like, I'm hoping that at least there is, it's not, the season doesn't get started at Nissan Stadium with just the entire crowd booing the head coach.
That would be a very, very long off or long season in
right
general.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, that doesn't just affect Brian Callahan.
Still got 16 games to go.
The team gets to hear that too. So 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's talk Cam Ward's home debut. Did not throw a touchdown pass on Sunday in Denver. Let's hope he gets one this week. Even though it may, again, we're not expecting them to win the game. I'd like to see Cam Ward get some confidence up. And, you know, you can only gain so much confidence, even though he did look good on Sunday, from drops and field goals. You got to actually show some results. We'll get to that coming up next. 1025, the game is teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption tomorrow at Pella, 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville from 10 to noon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025, the game. Next man up, 1025, the game. Final hour on this Friday, getting you set for a big football weekend. Tennessee, Georgia in Neyland, and actually the Pat McAfee show on behind us. Pat's out there live from Knoxville. He's got the river in the background, and this might be the first time I've ever seen A.J. Hawk not just in that one room in his house.
I know. He always comes from the same spot every time on the McAfee show.
I thought that maybe he was not real and he was just an AI generation, but he is actually live from Indianapolis on their usual set. So A.J. Hawk, not in his house. Anyway, big game in Neyland tomorrow. Tennessee, Georgia, 2:30 kick. That is on ABC, correct?
Yes, 2:30 on ABC.
2:30 on ABC, and then Vanderbilt, South Carolina, 6:45 on the SEC Network. You can listen to pregame coverage of Vanderbilt and South Carolina right here on 102.5 The Game, starting at 5. Again, game starts at 6:45. But we're getting ready for Titans and Rams. Week 2, Titans coming off a disappointing loss in the way that they lost it, 20-12 to the Denver Broncos on Sunday. And we were talking about what's the crowd reaction going to be like when they announce Cam Ward. Probably going to be one of the better cheers you hear all day. And when they announce Brian Callahan, and based on the text line, I think Brian Callahan's getting booed. Like, based on what we're seeing from some of these texters, Brian says it's not the 0-1 feeling. It's the 3-15 feeling of hopelessness, hopeless football that's bringing the booze out. And I love, this is voice to text, so it's spelled booze, B-O-O-Z-E, which you might need some of that too if you're watching the Titans game on Sunday.
Yeah, just don't let us know how the results are after.
Yes, so Titans and Rams coming up Sunday. I said in the first hour that I think if you're looking for hope in this game, try and just look at Cam Ward in a vacuum, because I think that's the most hope that I got out of Sunday's game, is that if you take out all the incompetence that was around Cam Ward on Sunday, the offensive line, the coaching, the wide receivers who couldn't catch, Cam Ward looked pretty good. I think you might have to do that again on Sunday against the Rams, because without J.C. Latham and Dan Moore facing another group of elite pass rushers, you're going to have to look at Cam Ward minus the fact that he could get sacked another 4 or 5 times on Sunday.
Yep, got to get the ball out quick. No long developing play actions, because that's just not going to work against this Rams pass rush. And you can take advantage of the Rams secondary, because I do not think it is as good, as talented as the Broncos.
Not even close.
But you just got to get past the fact that that front seven is so dangerous.
Right. Cam Ward's going to have to get the ball out quick. But if you can get even just a couple of plays, if you can give him time, Calvin Ridley needs a get back game bad. Like, if you're looking at, there are three guys on this team that I'm looking at on Sunday that need a get back game, where it's like, yeah, I messed up in Denver. I'm going to make up for it this week. Brian Callahan is obviously number one. That dude cannot be the reason the Titans lose the game on Sunday. Calvin Ridley's number two. Dan Moore is number three. Those three guys did not look good Sunday. You need to see more out of them against LA. Calvin Ridley, they didn't take many shots to Calvin Ridley. Like, he had a couple passes over the middle, the dig route, the post at the end. I'd love them to try and take the top off the defense a couple times. But in order to do that, obviously you have to protect Cam Ward for those routes to develop down the field.
Which is a huge question. Will they be able to do it? I'm not confident in saying so, especially with Ollie Udo at right tackle and the way Dan Moore played. He's going to have Jared Verse. He's going to have guys like Braden Fisk who will twist and go outside. It's going to be tough. Byron Young.
You're probably going to have to keep a running back and or a tight end in on any of those passing plays where the routes need to develop downfield. Like, you're going to have to keep six, and we saw it late in the game against Denver where Cam Ward was positioning Tony Pollard behind the guards to make sure that he was in the right spot to pick up the blitz. You're probably going to see that a decent amount again in obvious passing downs. Cam Ward did not throw for a touchdown on Sunday. And again, if you're looking at the box score, Cam Ward, 12 of 28, 112 yards and no touchdowns. It doesn't look good, but the film shows a lot more. And I know that some of the film guys have maybe overblown it. Listening to DVD yesterday, they played the clip of Dan Orlovsky saying Cam Ward had the third best quarterback performance of the week in week one. And that is way over the top. Cam Ward, I would have said C+.
And we know Dan Orlovsky loves his quarterbacks. He loves Cam Ward, but he's been very high on Cam Ward. Cam Ward, I thought, played fine, not third best.
Yeah, I thought he... It's one of those things where the box score doesn't show how well he played, and you look at the film, and there was a lot that you liked out of it. Did he have the third best week of any quarterback in the NFL? I don't think so. But you'd like to see him get into the end zone. And if the Titans are going to win, you have to put it in the end zone, right? Like, they had four field goals coming up or last week against Denver. You've got to find a way to score touchdowns this week. Love for Cam Ward to get his first NFL touchdown at home in front of the crowd. Just please don't play Ring of Fire. I'm asking again.
Got to play Tennessee Pimpin'.
Yeah, there we go. MCD.
We're all rooting for that to be the new touchdown song. So
yeah, TD was on yesterday. We played Tennessee Pimpin', and I would love that for that to be the touchdown song. And it's gonna be Ring of Fire though. It is. And Parker, if you're in the stadium on Sunday, you'll get to hear it, and you can just think of me when those trumpets start playing.
I'll get some videos. I'll have boots on the ground for 102.5.
Monday morning, we'll have Parker Kelly's recap of all of the stuff you didn't see on TV at Nissan Stadium, the game presentation, all that kind of stuff.
The stadium, everything that was going on inside. Yeah, I got you.
John in Nashville on our text line says, is this how everyone on the channel is going to be? Every team on the schedule is going to blow us out. John, the Titans aren't a very good football team right now. So when they play good football teams, yeah, the expectation is that they're going to lose. Next week, I'm not going to be saying this, barring an injury of some sort. Like, if Cam Ward went down, knock on wood, like, I'm not going to say that they're going to get blown out by the Colts. I think next week is going to be a very competitive game, and it'll be a good test for Cam Ward of, like, hey, can you elevate this team to beat a team that isn't a playoff contender? Because although the Colts looked good against the Dolphins last week, I wouldn't put Indy as a playoff contender quite yet.
I think you can split with the Jags and the Colts. I think that's fair to say. The Browns are on the schedule. The Saints are on the schedule. Right. Those are winnable games.
There are plenty of games on this schedule this year that I will head into the weekend feeling like the Titans have a chance. With the injuries and the team you're playing on Sunday, I don't feel good about this one. I felt better about last week's game than I did about this one. Like, last week, I said I thought it was about a 10% chance the Titans could win. I don't know if it's too much lower, but it's around there too. And Denver played horrible on Sunday. I mean, Denver played awful, and the Titans still couldn't find a way to win because of all the mistakes the coach made, the wide receivers made, the offensive line made. So I don't think the Rams are going to play as bad of a game as Denver did. Even if the Titans play better, which I expect they will, I expect the Titans not to have 130 yards of penalties and five drops and Cam Ward could get sacked 6 times. That one still is in the realm of possibility. But I expect some of the other things to improve, but I just think the Rams are the better team. And if I had to guess, I'd probably say this game ends like 27-14 Rams, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a two-possession game, much worse than the Broncos game.
Wes in Clarksville says, don't worry about Ring of Fire song. I doubt we score a touchdown. Yeah.
Didn't score one last week.
Maybe Parker won't come back with any thoughts.
No Ring of Fire. That is a good thing.
Yeah. Maybe that will be the only good thing about the Titans game on Sunday. Again, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but it's like you look at the matchup on paper, and it doesn't line up well for the Titans. Who knows? Let's wait for the injury report to come out. Because that could influence things a little bit, give the Titans a little better of a chance. We know J.C. Latham is out. He told us yesterday. But if T'Vondre Sweat gets back out on the practice field today, and he can play Sunday, and if those two, if Dotson and Avila, the guards for the Rams, both can't play, that could change things on the other side of the ball. And the Titans could have a better chance at slowing the Rams' offense down. Who knows how many snaps L'Jarius Sneed is going to be allowed to play on Sunday. So all of those things are factors, but looking at what we know right now about these two teams and where they are health-wise, I don't feel good about it.
Nope, and you definitely, it sucks having J.C. Latham out if you're the Titans, but if you have J.C. Latham and T'Vondre Sweat out, I mean, the chances of you being the Rams are already pretty slim. They go down way, way, way more without T'Vondre Sweat.
Yep, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have questions, thoughts on the Titans taking on the Rams on Sunday, 615-737-1025, our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Couple more segments on the show today. I want to start something here, Parker, and I don't know how long we can continue this. It might depend on who is with us on Fridays, but I want to do Monday headlines. So we're going to take a guess at what the headlines are going to be Monday morning. We'll do one for the Titans, one for college football coming up next. See if we can predict what's going to happen over a great weekend of football. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Parker playing one of the hypest touchdown songs of all time. And I love Johnny Cash. I really do. I think Folsom Prison Blues at the end of the third quarter is an awesome tradition. Like, keep that. We don't need the Ring of Fire.
No disrespect to Johnny Cash, because this is
right.
A great song.
No, it's a great song.
It's just not a great touchdown song.
There might be another way to incorporate it. It's just not a good touchdown song. Taylor says that's a hot take saying that Cam will get to hear it on Sunday. Yeah, we've heard that a couple times. I am fine with the trumpets. Just, it's not good for the touchdown song. We're not going to spend time. We spent almost an hour on this like 3 weeks ago when the Titans played the preseason game, so I'm not going to spend much more time on it. I really did think, and Parker, make sure you pay attention to the intro video with Jelly Roll when the team comes out, because I thought that was awesome. There were a lot of good things about the Titans game presentation. Ring of Fire's not one of them.
Yeah, Jelly Roll is a great representative of this team. I'm in favor of, if we're not playing Tennessee Pimpin', have Jelly Roll make a song.
Yeah.
And have that be the
there
touchdown
we
song.
Yeah, and we had a texter, I'll never remember who it was because, again, it was almost a month ago, but somebody said like how the Preds use I Like It, I Love It with Tim McGraw. Have like Jason Aldean do something with Crazy Town or something like that with touchdown. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to do a new segment here called Monday Headlines. What are we going to be talking about on Monday after this football weekend? Let's do one for the Titans, one for college football. I'll start for the Titans. I think what we're going to be talking about Monday, Titans lose. Said that pretty much all day. But I think Calvin Ridley has a big bounce back game. That is, I think we're going to have a lot to talk about from Calvin Ridley. Just, that was, yes, he dropped some passes last year, and he's dropped some passes with the Jaguars, but it's uncharacteristic for him to have consistently bad back-to-back games. So I'm going to say Titans lose, but one of the big bright spots on Monday morning that we're talking about is Calvin Ridley and Cam Ward hooked up a couple of times. I'm going to say over 100 yards for Calvin Ridley on Sunday.
That's not too bold, I don't think, because Calvin Ridley's a pro. Like, he knows what to, like, there's no point in Cam Ward saying, hey, you got to catch the ball, because he's
right.
going to throw
yeah,
picks. That's going to happen. Calvin Ridley's a veteran. He knows how to bounce back from this. So I don't think that's Fair.
I mean, that's fair. This isn't supposed to be hot takes or bold takes, but just a guess. It's something that we're going to be talking about on Monday. I think it's going to be a big Calvin Ridley bounce back. Do you have a possible Monday headline for the Titans, Parker?
Yeah, it may not be good, but I'm gonna share it. I think the penalty situation will be just about the same because you have Dan Moore, who has not put it together yet, and Ollie Udo at right tackle. This front seven for the Rams is a little bit better than what you faced for Denver. And when you're outmatched athlete for athlete, technique goes out the window. You start holding, you start grabbing jerseys, grabbing face masks. I think the penalty situation, it may not be 131 yards, but it's going to be up there.
Yeah, if we're talking about penalties again on Monday, after everything this offseason with the eight teams and the sins and the Emmys, like, we can't be talking about penalties on Monday. I said if Callahan has another bad game on Sunday, it might be past the point of no return. Penalties is part of that. I think a lot of it is just the flow of the game and the play calling and all that stuff. But if they commit even like 90 yards of penalties again, 80 yards, like that's when we have to start having conversations of like, does the locker room listen to what Brian Callahan has been preaching literally all offseason?
Well, Trevor Maddich talked about it, but the way he handled the game operationally on Sunday in Denver, if I'm a player, I don't know if I trust everything that he says because he put me in a bad position to not win the game when it was clearly there. I mean, yeah, they turned the ball over four times.
Right. You had short fields most of the time you were on offense on Sunday. Like, the four turnovers, of course, but you also had the turnover on downs when Sweat stuffed Nicks. Like, you had multiple short fields, and you could not put it in the end zone once. And we were talking about the third down play in the red zone where Cam Ward took the sack, and TD was talking about how Van Jefferson was coming open. Yesterday on Twitter, might have been Titans Film Room on Twitter, Justin Graver, who put this out there, that they were looking for the throwback to Gunnar Helm. So it was supposed to be a sprint out left, and Ward was supposed to cycle back. Gunnar Helm was releasing late to the other side of the end zone, but the pressure got there so fast that Ward couldn't make the throw. So just to clarify there, that could have been a play for the Titans, but obviously didn't have enough time. That may be a Monday headline too. Cam Ward tries to make plays, didn't have enough time. Let's go college football here. We got a lot of big games, especially across the state of Tennessee. My Monday headline, I look back at the Vanderbilt-Missouri game last year where Vandy, on the road against a top 15 team, took them to overtime, missed a field goal, came up short. I'm going to say Vanderbilt pulls it off in overtime. Brock Taylor kicks the game-winning field goal in overtime in Columbia. This time...
Overtime, you say?
In overtime, Vanderbilt beats South Carolina. They lost in a Columbia last year in overtime. They win in the other Columbia in overtime this year.
I love it. Again, Jake, I'm torn on this. I reserved the right already to be wrong, so if I'm wrong, nobody come after me, because if I make a wrong pick, it actually wasn't my fault. It was either the players, coaches, or officials screwed it up. I picked South Carolina to win, but it would not be surprised if Vanderbilt won. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yep. I'm going with Vandy. And again, I said I feel good about Tennessee. That one feels more – they both are toss-up games for me, though. It – not much would shock me on Saturday in either of those games. I think a blowout for either of the underdogs would shock me. Like, if Tennessee just whooped Georgia or Vandy just whooped South Carolina, I think that would surprise me. I think maybe there's a chance that Georgia lets out some frustrations and finally gets the offense going. But I think Vandy in overtime beats South Carolina, and we're talking about a top 20 Commodores team on Monday morning.
I think they should already be ranked. That's my issue with the AP Bowl, because I don't believe they actually watched Virginia Tech and Vandy.
I agree. And there's been a lot that came out about I'm not going to even try and look for the girl's name because we don't need to call her
Haley
out.
Haley Sawyer?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we can't call her out.
Yeah.
The AP voter who moved Florida up in her rankings after losing to USF at home. Like, I get what she was saying when they asked her the questions about it. They're like, it is just one data point in the poll, but like, if you don't care about your vote, you shouldn't have that vote.
And I'm not going to trash Haley Sawyer. I think it's more so the committee that puts these people in charge. Haley Sawyer covers USC. So she was at USC's game. They're playing late. She didn't watch Florida and USF. And the worst part about it, she didn't care to explain why. You got to watch these games if you're going to have AP. I don't think it's too much to ask that you actually watch the games before ranking a team.
It's not even watching them. Like, if you want to be a box score scout, fine. But clearly she may not have even known that Florida lost if you move Florida up two spots after losing that game. So, I don't know. There's zero chance that if Vandy beats South Carolina this weekend that they are not ranked in next week's AP poll. So, that's my Monday headline for Vandy. I think they win in overtime. Do you have another one for college football, Parker?
I could go local, and I just want to go national for a second because we've talked about Tennessee, we've talked about Georgia, we talked about Vandy and South Carolina. I want to go national for a second. I've been very unimpressed with Clemson through the first 2 weeks. I thought they played a hard-fought game versus LSU in week one. They took a ginormous step back versus Troy last week. It went down 17-0. It was really bad. They play Georgia Tech this week in week three. It is at Bobby Dodd in Atlanta. I'm very impressed with Georgia Tech. They have had some turnover issues. They did not play Haynes King last week. They rested him for this game. I think Georgia Tech is going to beat Clemson on Saturday and have a chokehold of the ACC.
Wow. All right. I like it. And if Clemson loses that game, how short does Dabo's leash start to become?
I think he's pretty safe.
I think he's safe, but it's like this year, with all the talent on that team, the expectations was to be back in the national championship conversation. And if after week three, you're 1-2 and we're down at halftime, 16-3 to Troy? 16-0 to Troy.
Yeah.
No, 16-3.
It might have been 16. Yeah, I think it was 16-3. They missed the extra point.
And then they scored two touchdowns basically right off the bat in the third quarter and figured it out. Yep. But like,
it took them too long to get going.
That cannot happen with first-round talent on that roster, the amount of first-round talent on that roster. You can't lose the LSU game, fine. That is a tough game for week one. But almost losing to Troy, and I know there was a weather delay in there, that obviously throws a wrench in some things. They got to win this week. This is a big game for Clemson. And you're right, Georgia Tech, if they hadn't turn the ball over on their first three possessions against Colorado, I think they win that game by a couple of touchdowns.
They spotted Colorado three turnovers on their first three drives and still won the game.
Right. So I like it. I like the headline there. Georgia Tech gets the win over Clemson, and we start to wonder what's happening in Death Valley number two out there in South Carolina. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have any final thoughts, last call for phones here on the show. Chase and Big Joe are coming up at the top of the hour. It'll be Connor Newton, Nick Frazier filling in as Big Joe is en route to Nevada with MTSU. We'll wrap up our show after this. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. See, this is much better. Like, end of the third quarter, Nissan Stadium, game's close. I love to hear Folsom Prison Blues. We need the right Johnny Cash.
I think it's important to note that one of my friends just texted me while we were on the air and said that he thought that Ring of Fire was a great touchdown song. I have since blocked his number.
There you go. There you go. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Wrapping up the show here on this Friday, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game, Chase and Big Joe coming up right after us here on the station. Yeah, it's not the biggest deal. Again, the touchdown song is very low on the priority list of things the Titans need to fix, right? Like, there's so much that needs to be better for the Titans, but it's just something that it doesn't have the right vibe when the Titans score a touchdown, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. It makes me want to go to sleep. And I feel like after a touchdown, I shouldn't want to feel like I'm going to go to sleep. I want to be hype.
Yeah. And I get it. The Titans, you're trying to be unique. The Nashville, and it's the live trumpets. There's something cool about it. And when I first heard it, I was at the Jets game last year when they debuted it, and it was fine. I think there are better options out there. Some people don't like the 300 first down chant. I'm okay with that one. It's become kind of a staple of Titans games.
I like that.
Yeah, like,
I like that.
When they first started doing it, I wasn't a huge fan, but it's like now that it's kind of become a tradition. So I'm fine with that. Touchdown song should change. 7988 on our text line gives us something that I think is a good way to finish up the show. He says, I'm catching up, but I'm hoping if Titans lose, it will be because the other team threaded a needle, not walked through an open gate. I think that is what you should be looking for. And I know that's sad because every week you should think that your NFL team has a chance to win. And sure, there's always a chance. But the way this is lining up without J.C. Latham, I'm not feeling confident the Titans are going to win the game, but you hope they lose because the Rams were the better team and played the better game rather than the Titans just gave it to them, right? Like, that's what happened on Sunday in Denver. The Broncos played horrible. And I saw from another texter asking, like, did the Broncos play awful or... Yeah, here we go. John in Nashville. Did the Broncos play awful or did our defense play well? The defense did some good things, but like Sean Payton made some bad decisions in that game.
Broncos handed it to
Bo Nix made some bad decisions in that game. They kept giving you chance after chance to come back and tie that game up at the end, and you couldn't take advantage. Like, that needs... You can lose the game on Sunday. You are not expected to win. The Rams are the better team on paper. But lose it because the Rams are the better team, not because you gave it away with bad decisions, penalties, drops, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, because this loss to the Rams, if it is a loss, which we think it will happen, it wouldn't hurt as bad if you just capitalized and scored maybe just one touchdown against the Broncos off of those four turnovers.
If you could have figured it out and beaten the Broncos, which, again, the Broncos are a good team. You're on the road. It's a tough environment, but... You had opportunities to win that game over and over, and you couldn't take advantage. If you're 1-0 right now, it feels like you're playing with house money in this one. Because, again, I said it last week, if you're 1-1 after these first two games, you feel good. And if the Titans pull it off on Sunday, you would think that has something to do with either the young quarterback or Brian Callahan did a lot better, which he has to, or the offensive line figured something out. That's why it just feels like the puzzle pieces aren't aligning for them to get a win on Sunday. Could it happen? Sure. But with J.C. The J.C. Latham injury is the one thing that is kind of holding me back. Like last week, I didn't think the Titans would win, but I was like, you know what? If the offensive line protects Cam, they might have a chance. This week, it doesn't seem plausible that Cam Ward is going to have a clean pocket very often.
Because we were talking about the Broncos as I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender or anything, but they are a legit playoff contender. This Rams team is very much a Super Bowl contender in the NFC. I do not feel great about this at all.
Cam Ward was pressured on 53% of his dropbacks last week.
What do you think the pressure rate's going to be this time around?
Right, and J.C. Latham was hurt, so he clearly wasn't 100%, but I wouldn't guess it's going to be much better on Sunday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for phones here as we wrap up the show. We did go through, if you missed it, the cow milking competition. Chase McCabe and I, we fell short last night at the Nashville Fair. It was a tough blow to the confidence, but we've got 365 days to get better for next year. So Chase and I will be practicing starting this weekend our cow milking abilities. We finished dead last. It was not close, and I'm sure Chase will have some thoughts with Nick and Connor coming up on the next show. 7988 has a headline: Titans infuriate bettors again with loss. They lose the spread, and all offseason O-line acquisitions injured. There you go. That's a positive one from 7988 to finish.
Look at that.
Yes. Just a quick note here before we wrap things up. I'm going to be out there calling Vanderbilt soccer tonight. They host LSU over at the Plex. So if you're looking for something to do on a Friday night, I know there's plenty of good high school football out there as well. Make sure to tune in tonight for the Game Blitz.
That's right.
Parker Kelly and Connor Newt and the Metro Game of the Week. Always fun to listen into those games right here on 102.5 The Game. But if you're looking for something to do, come out to the Plex, SEC Soccer, Vandy LSU. I'll be calling it over on the SEC Network Plus. So excited for that. Excited for a fun weekend of football. We've gone through it throughout the whole show. Tomorrow is going to be a great day of football. And it could go all kinds of different directions for the fans we have listening out there. Vandy fans would love it if they can beat South Carolina and Tennessee lays an egg against Georgia and vice versa. But I said it earlier, I'm starting to think both teams got a good chance to win. We'll see.
I do too. I think the key for Tennessee in this game, Joey Aguilar, baptism by fire. He had the first two games to kind of get warmed up, yep, for this game. I think what's hindered Tennessee in the past against Georgia is the lack of explosive plays through the air. I think Tennessee's going to have they run the ball very well. But Georgia likes, you know, they have a bunch of big bodies up front. So they like to play light box and then have six corners or six secondary players out there. If Tennessee's able to connect on some deep passes down the field, I love Tennessee's chances in this.
That game coming up at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. Game day is in Knoxville. Going to be an interesting one out there in East Tennessee. Vandy at South Carolina. You can listen to that game starting at 5 o'clock right here on 102.5 The Game tomorrow. Kickoff is at 6:45. And then Titans and Rams coming up on Sunday. We'll be back on Monday to recap all of it. That does it for us here on Next Man Up. Chasing Big Joe with Nick Frazier and Connor Newt coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.